I see the moon sees me, under the shade of the old oak tree. Please let the light that shines on me shine on the one I love.
My name is Richard Thornton, and I once talked with a ghost. At the time, of course, I didn't know it was a ghost. Yes, I was stone cold sober. My encounter with the dead was long before I became addicted to the juice of the barley. I was a budding town planner, the past pride of a London grammar school, but a bit of a maverick. I took pride in being a maverick. I met my ghost in an old house called Bourne Park, in a village called Salis Purim, where I was attending an indoctrination course for town planning officers in 1967. My life was never my own again after I met my ghost. Wherever I trod, the spectre followed after me.
Over the mountain, over the sea, back where my heart is yearning to be, please let the light that shines on me shine on the one I love.
In public housing, ladies and gentlemen, the trap we must not fall into is the myth of rural life as our ideal. Yes, Mr. Thornton, if you must.
But surely, Professor, the village has always been the most successful human community.
As I have learned in this short week of our acquaintance, I have only to state a premise for you to oppose it. To answer your question, squalid housing, little or no sanitation, poor communication with the outside world, limited access to education. Obviously the ideal community.
Port Sunlight, Bourneville.
No, Mr. Thornton, I can't let you get away with that. A patriarchal form of tied housing? We must break the connection between employment and housing. Good housing is a right, not a privilege for the working class. What is your point, Mr. Thornton, if you have a valid point to make?
I don't believe enough care has been given to transplanting the human spirit to the new estate.
Is there something noble in the human spirit that is nurtured by outdoor lavatories and a dearth of bathrooms?
Many tenants of our estates are now isolated. Friends and family dispersed or a long bus ride away.
What authority do you work for, Mr. Thornton?
South Yorks.
It seems we cannot satisfy you, young man. However, here's my wife to inform us that dinner's ready, I believe.
Yes, my dear.
We shall resume discussion after dinner, Mr. Thornton permitting, of course.
You look cross, my dear.
The Thornton chap. God knows what he's doing in planning.
Then you must write to his authority and say so.
My friend, Douglas Wilder, and I were on a week's course at the home of the then-venerated Professor Meredith Taylor to ensure that the brave new world we planned to build was planets apart from the Georgian pile, Bourne Park, that was the Professor's home. The paradox of the Professor's preaching and his choice of residence didn't occur to me at the time.
Good evening, Mr. Thornton.
Good evening, Mrs. Taylor.
Not an early night, surely?
No, I was...
A bath is out of the question. Someone has been very extravagant with the hot water.
I wasn't going
to... The Professor is planning to end the evening with a discussion.
Flying visit. Satisfy a call of nature only.
Then I shan't detain you.
There was an unnerving coldness about this spouse of the celebrated Meredith Taylor, visionary prophet of municipal housing, which repelled me. Naive as I was, I could recognise a calculating bitch when I met one. On the second floor landing stood a little girl of perhaps 7 or 8, in a white cotton nightdress. A solemn little girl, dark eyes, dark hair.
Hello. Ill met by moonlight, proud Titania. That's a bit out of Shakespeare. Midsummer Night's Dream, where the king and queen of the fairies bump into one another on the landing. You shall play Titania, I shall play Oberon. No? I expect you haven't done that in school yet. My name's Richard Thornton. I'm staying here for the week. With the course. May I ask your name?
She stood there, a solemn little moppet on that freezing landing, and her eyes never left my face. I began to wonder whether she was a mute, deaf and dumb. Where was her mother?
Are you waiting for the bathroom? Yes, no, perhaps. See, the bathroom's vacant. Would you like to go first? Very well, Titania. I shan't embarrass you any further with my presence. Your mother's quite right. You shouldn't talk to strange men. And I'm very strange. If you'll excuse me, I'll just... Hello, still here, Titania? Look, it's really none of my business, but I think you should go back to bed, don't you? I don't think your mother would want you to catch your death of cold. Be a good girl. Go back to bed. Hello? I have a stray child here. One stray child who needs a warm bed. Perhaps a little forgiveness. I remember now. First night here, you woke me up. I heard a child crying. Was that you? I bet that was you.
Yet I suspected she was a deaf mute. Attitudes towards disability have changed, but at that time, a child less than perfect in the parents' eyes was sometimes hidden from public view. I began to feel angry.
I'm going to try the rooms on this landing. Stay there, won't you?
There was something oddly menacing about the bleak and shadowy corridors of the house which raised the hair on my neck. Opening doors into darkened rooms, one might well imagine a precipice on the threshold or a presence behind the door. Too many shadows move too quickly for comfort. When I turned a corner, I was surprised to find the child padding silently beside me, dark eyes seeking mine, fearful of losing my company.
Where did you spring from, Titania? I'm sorry. I shouldn't have left you alone. Well, you don't belong on this floor. Have you come downstairs, I wonder?
We sat together on the top step, and I felt her, chill as ice, beside me. It seemed ridiculous to shout for help.
God, it sounds like the old dark house. Any minute now, Ernest Thesiger will come sliding down the stairs. What can we do to chase the bogeymen away? Shall we sing? Let's sing, shall we? What songs do you know? You must learn some songs at school.
She gave no sign of hearing, but her eyes devoured me. Such pools of longing and loneliness that I might have fallen in and drowned.
What shall we sing? I know. This is a song I used to sing when I was a boy. I see the moon sees me, under the shade of the old oak tree. Please let the light that shines on me shine on the one I love.
Sitting on those freezing stairs, with the wind whispering in every nook and cranny in that old house, I sang the song of the lonely child, the child abandoned. I sang as I were 8 years old, sharing one voice with two desolate children. I sat again on the stairs in that horrid house of my childhood and sang my heart out, beseeching my parents to come home, to remember me, to love me.
Over the mountains, over the sea, that's where my heart is yearning to be. Please let the light that shines on me shine on the one I love.
When the child laid her cold fingers on my wrist, I remembered who I was.
My watch? You like my watch?
It was my only remembrance of my martial grandfather. On the dial was painted a soldier with semaphore flags, her wristwatch cobbled from a pocket watch.
I'll tell you what, Titania. You keep my watch to make sure I'll come back to you, and I'll go downstairs and dig out your mummy and daddy. I will come back to you, I promise. Cross my heart and swear to die. I'll be as quick as I can.
The tower will be a completely self-sufficient unit, providing superior accommodation at minimum cost. A new kind of community is being born. We are designing and building streets in the sky, ladies and gentlemen. Streets in the sky. Excelsior must be our battle cry.
I'm sorry to interrupt, Professor Taylor, but there is a child in her nightgown.
Child? What child?
A child in her nightgown, freezing on the second floor landing.
I think you must be mistaken.
I think her mother or father should put her back to bed. The child needs her mother or father, preferably both, and now, please.
Mr. Thornton, you are mistaken, quite mistaken. There is no child in this house. Here's my wife. I'm sure she can reassure you.
What is the problem now, Mr. Thornton?
There's a little girl.
A child?
Freezing on the second floor landing. She needs her mother.
Why are you doing this, Mr. Thornton?
Isn't it obvious?
Who have you been talking to?
Talking to? No one.
Is this some sort of prank, Mr. Thornton?
I have just left a child on the stairs.
Nonsense. No member of the course is accompanied by a child.
Well, it must be a member of the household staff. My apologies for intruding. I'll see who's in the kitchen.
There's no one in the kitchen. The maids go home after dinner.
The housekeeper?
Housekeeping falls within my domain, Mr. Thornton.
I met a child on the stairs, Mrs. Taylor.
I repeat, nonsense. You are mistaken, Mr. Thornton.
I repeat, there is a little girl on the stairs.
There is no child in this house.
I would beg to differ, Mrs. Taylor. I know what I saw.
Have you been drinking, Mr. Thornton?
I will ignore the insinuation.
Very well, Mr. Thornton. If I cannot persuade you otherwise, shall you and I seek out this mythical child?
This is where I left her.
There's no child here.
She's wandered back to bed.
Mr. Thornton, I can only repeat what I have already said. There is no child in this house.
But I saw her, talked to her. I gave her my watch. She has my watch.
What do you intend to gain by this behaviour?
The child has taken my watch back to bed with her. That proves it.
It proves nothing of the sort.
The child was here. She has my watch.
Mr. Thornton, don't you think this has gone far enough?
I don't know what you mean.
I find your behaviour quite despicable.
You think this is a prank?
Why are you trying to injure my husband?
Why on earth would I play the fool?
You've managed to do so quite consistently throughout the week.
I beg your pardon?
The professor is too much of a gentleman to make an issue of your silly behaviour, but it has not gone unnoticed.
Mrs. Taylor, I talked with a little girl on this landing not half an hour ago.
And I say you did not.
I demand the house be searched to find this child.
Young man, you are in no position to demand anything.
If this house is not searched, then I will call the police.
Nonsense.
Would you mind if I use the telephone?
Very well. When my husband...
Now, Mrs. Taylor.
On your own head be it, Mr. Thornton.
The house was searched diligently from attic to cellar. There was no child found within the walls of Bourne Park. I was sent to bed in disgrace, without cocoa, biscuits, or my wristwatch.
Mm.
I'm sorry. No.
Christy, no. Dickie. What now?
I heard the child crying.
Haven't we had enough hullabaloo?
She was calling to me.
You've had a nightmare. Go back to sleep.
She's dead. The child. I talked to a ghost.
Good night.
No, listen. There's no other explanation.
Yes, there is. You made a bloody fool of yourself. God knows why.
I promised the child I would come back to her. She has my watch.
You know what, Dickie? You've missed your vocation. You should be on the stage at the Palladium.
I said to her, keep my watch until I come back to you.
Is it all right if I go back to sleep? Or have you any other blinding revelations to offer?
I've broken my promise.
The next morning, Douglas and I went back to South York's planning. Douglas with the Professor's commendation burning a hole in his pocket, and myself with Mrs. Taylor's baleful glare burning a hole in the back of my neck. 10 years passed on the treadmill. It was 1977, and the child of Bourne Park still walked through my dreams.
Thornton!
Yes, Mr. Forsyth?
Get in here. I'd like an explanation, Dickie.
For what?
This morning you went to chase progress at Shalford Hall.
Yes.
Can I take it then that the Shalford Hall estate is cleared?
Not one stone standeth upon another. Nothing is upright. All is in disorder. All shamefully thrown down.
Yeah, we can all quote Shakespeare.
Virgil, actually.
I calculate you could drive out to Shalford, drink a gallon of tea with the contractor, shit in the bushes, and still get back to County Hall for 12. I was left, unbriefed, to handle the planning meeting at 2. I was relying on your figures. It was an unmitigated disaster. Have you anything to say?
Have you ever stopped to think what it is we're actually doing?
What are you talking about?
I used to believe what you said. We must house the people, cast off the old, make a fresh start in this country.
Have you been drinking?
We're not only destroying the countryside, but the old pattern of community, laying out a barren landscape of council estates, treeless, shopless, godforsaken open prisons.
You have been drinking. I can smell it. Do you know that's a sackable offence?
Do you know, Pevsner says some 20,000 English country houses and estates have been destroyed since the war.
I'm going to forget this ever happened. Go home, Dickie. Lie down in a darkened room and we'll have this discussion tomorrow.
I suggest you look at this.
And what is it?
It's what's left of a photograph album.
It's been burnt.
Fished it out of a bonfire at Shalford. Our latest piece of scorched earth.
Which will very shortly be an estate of 800 modern homes.
Take a good look. Take a good, long look at what we've just destroyed. What do you see?
I see the well-upholstered aristocracy, posturing on the front porch, as per usual.
The house was a masterpiece, so beautiful. How could we be so foolish?
People need homes. We provide homes. Let Lord and Lady Muck buzz off to the Riviera.
We're destroying the soul of England. It's as simple and as terrible as that. Our own private bonfire of the Library of Alexandria.
Ballcocks. Images of unwarranted privilege. Take a deco at this.
The fragment of old photograph was of a man and woman standing on the steps of Shalford Hall. A child stood on a lower step in a white cotton dress, looking directly into the camera. It was the child I met on the landing that night at Bourne Park. The shock was electric.
You all right, Dickie? Hey, sit down. Here, sit down.
I knew it could not be the child. It could not be the child. Titania stared at me, accusing me of betrayal yet again.
Feeling better?
Yes, thanks.
You gave me a shock, you stupid beggar. I thought you were having a heart attack.
I'm sorry. I suddenly felt dizzy.
See the quack, Dickie. Get him to check the old clockwork. And lay off the booze. We'll talk again tomorrow.
I rang the pub, Dickie. Don't tell me he didn't tell you.
Sorry, Alison.
If you want something to eat, make it yourself.
I've resigned.
You've done what?
I've resigned from my eminent position with South York's planning department.
Have you had a row with Forsyth?
Not particularly.
But you have resigned?
Yes.
Why?
Hated what I was doing, so I've stopped doing it.
How much had you had to drink when you made this noble gesture?
Sober as a judge.
Not now, you're not.
Has the ring of irony, sober as a judge.
You haven't written a letter, have you?
Typed it myself.
Give it to me.
It's in the director's tray.
You bloody fool, Dickie.
Analysis correct, but let me explain.
What is there to explain?
There is a fatal cancer at the heart of this new Puritanism.
So you keep telling me.
We're destroying everything that is beautiful. Anything that has any meaning. Replacing it with the cheapest, ugliest, trashiest.
I don't suppose there's any sensible reasons why you've done this.
They rebuilt Warsaw stone by stone exactly as it was before the war. Have you seen the new Durston Manor estate?
A teacher's pittance won't pay this mortgage. If we lose this house, that's the finish. I'm warning you. Sauve qui peut.
Salis Purim, a district of the new town. What about Bourne Park? Oh, the Bourne Park estate, I see. Council or private development? I see. Thanks. Thanks very much for the information.
We do not provide a free telephone service for the unemployed.
Okay, Sonny. Bourne Park is no more, swallowed up in Chignall Newtown.
Bourne Park?
The venerated Meredith Taylor's place?
Oh, I remember. Things that go bump in the night. What are you doing here anyway?
Clearing my desk. Surprising how much bump I've collected.
How's Alison taking it?
She's not.
I never thought you'd go through with it.
Don't believe in it anymore. Won't do it anymore. You're welcome to.
I suppose I ought to break the news myself.
What news?
I've been appointed Forsyth's deputy.
You sly dog, Douglas.
Deputy Principal of Town and Country Planning, South Yorks County Council. Mouthful, isn't it?
Thrones, dominations, Princeton's power. These condemn a man more easily than dungeons. Be careful, Douglas.
My experience of the esoteric mysteries of the planning office may be very employable, and for a while I enjoyed opposing and outwitting the planning officers. For 7 years, I served much the same function to Roderick Brighouse Associates as George Blake to the KGB. I assured myself, at least in Orwell's memorable year of 1984, we weren't destroying irreplaceable country houses. Instead, we were gutting them for use as superior hotels or conference centres. Then the dreams began again. I would see the child, and she would cry out to me, and I would be filled with such terror that I would awake shouting and fighting.
There you are, Alison.
Here I am, Richard.
It's very late. Didn't know you'd started smoking again.
Sorry. Didn't know I needed planning permission.
What are you doing down here?
Thinking. You should try it sometime.
Do I have to talk to the back of your head?
Would it have made any difference to us if David had lived?
Is there any point to
Would
this?
Would it have made any difference, Dickie?
I don't want to talk about this again. I'm going back to bed.
I knew, as soon as I went to the car, I knew he was dead. But when I picked him up, he wasn't real. Somebody had put a doll in our son's cot. He's slipped through my arms like a sack of sand.
Alison, what's the point in tormenting yourself over and over
All
again?
All the time my child was dying, when I might have been able to save him, I was trying to cope with a useless, disgusting drunk.
I'm going back to bed.
This seems as good a time as any to tell you.
Tell me what?
I'm leaving.
You've been seeing someone?
I applied for a post as head teacher, Wiltshire.
When was this?
They've offered me the job. I've decided to accept.
When Alison left, I felt nothing. I wanted desperately to feel something, but there was only emptiness. When the taxi came, I wanted there to be a man in the cab. I wanted to hate him for stealing her away when she had left years before. But I knew I had driven her away.
Have a word, Richard.
Of course, Mr. Brighouse. Should I come to you?
No. I won't take up more than a moment of your time. Tricky one, Richard.
Yes, Mr. Brighouse?
Needs careful handling. Running up against completion date. Penalty clauses could be expensive.
I'm afraid I haven't the slightest idea what you're talking about.
You have a problem at your site.
Rington Grange. It's almost complete. Opens on the 18th.
Exactly. The Kents will be on parade for the opening. We can't afford a delay. I shall leave it to your discretion.
Yes, sir.
Good man. You have my complete confidence.
Thank you, sir. Oh, Mr. Brighouse, you haven't told me what the problem is.
Harry.
There you are, Mr. Thornton. Took you long enough.
I understand you have a problem.
Something like that.
What happened?
Sparks is cutting for cabling and... Well, you'd better see for yourself.
Where is it?
Follow me. There, Mr. Thornton. There's your problem.
Oh, my God!
The wall had been taken down to waist high. The skeleton of a little girl in a linen nightdress lay folded into the cavity, skull resting on her bony knees. In one terrible moment, the skull moved, and the child looked up at me, dark eyes accusing of betrayal, arms reaching out for me. I cried out in terror and fell into darkness.
Head between your knees, Mr. Thornton, that's the ticket. Up you come, Mr. Thornton. You'll be right as rain in a minute.
Only hope she was dead when he put her in there. How could anybody do this to a child?
Takes all sorts.
Have you called the police?
Mr. Brighouse said wait for Mr. Thornton.
Then ring the police now.
You reckon there'll be an early arrest then?
Of course not.
Yeah, but if we have the busies and the coroner and God knows what, nobody can tell how long the job's going to be hung up.
There are procedures.
Well, what happened to the kid happened 100 years ago.
This child was murdered and hidden here. There has to be an inquest. Either you ring the police or I will.
Listen to me, Mr. Thornton. If this job isn't finished on time, the penalty clause is invoked. Brighouse is not going to like that. Nobody here gets their bonus for sweating their guts out. The lads are counting on that bonus.
What do you suggest we do, Harry?
The mints are still on site.
The fragmentizer.
We could run a couple of tons of ballast. Nobody'd be any the wiser.
We're talking about putting a child into the fragmentizer.
No, we're not. Handful of old bones, that's all.
I'm going to phone the police.
No, you're not, Mr. Thornton. If you're going to phone anybody, call Brighouse.
Brighouse?
It's Thornton, sir. I'm out at Rington Grange.
Good man. Problem solved.
No, sir.
Why not?
Sir, I think you should know.
I don't wish to know anything. Deal with the problem. God, man, do you think this is the first time?
It's the first time for me.
Matter closed. Do you understand me?
Who knows about this?
Sparks and the labourer. Paddy knows when to keep stum.
She's not going into the fragmentizer.
What then?
Bring me a canvas and a spade. I'll bury her in the woodland.
Landscaping, are you? Take a tip from me.
What?
Bury it deep as hell.
When this job's over, Harry, I don't want you to work with me again.
Suits me, Mr. Thornton.
You always was a toppy-nosed arsehole anyway.
Roderick Brighouse Associates prospered mightily and dragged me along with them, not kicking and screaming, but numbly. When we ran out of country houses to vandalise, we began to take an interest in the ancient streets of small country towns. We upgraded the commercial environment, which means we destroyed in months town centres that had taken centuries to evolve.
You sent for me, Mr. Brighouse?
Come in, Richard, come in. There's somebody here I want you to meet.
Douglas.
How are you, Dickie?
You know each other.
From the year dot.
We started in South York's planning on the same day.
Oh, splendid. Spare the tedium of rubbing two dry sticks together. Perhaps you're not aware that Douglas is the new principal planning officer for South York's.
Congratulations, Douglas. I always thought you might.
Thanks, old chap. Just a question of waiting till the right shoes drop.
Richard is to be our liaison chappy with you, Douglas. How fortuitous that you should already be good chums. Couldn't be better, simply couldn't be better. What I suggest now, Richard, is that you take Douglas out for a spot of lunch. Take him to the Sheridan, rather better than County Hall, I suspect. Bring him up to speed on what we're doing.
Yes, Mr. Brighouse.
Do you play golf, Douglas?
Have you heard from Alison recently?
A solicitor wrote to inform me that I'm to be divorced.
I saw her a few weeks ago, quite by chance. She had a chap in tow.
Good for her.
She's pregnant, Dickie.
Ah, that explains the solicitor. I must find the letter and ask him. No wish to hinder her.
Did she seem happy?
Yes, I would say so. They certainly seem much taken with one another.
She's not living with ghosts any longer.
You all right, Richard?
Do you remember Meredith Taylor's house at Salis Purim? Bourne Park, a.k.a. Chignall Newtown.
Where you think you saw a ghost?
Where I met and talked with a ghost child. I often dream of her. Sometimes I'm in the house itself. Sometimes it's my childhood home. I know something terrible is going to happen, but I can't do anything about it. Then I wake up screaming.
You talk to your doctor?
They found a child's skeleton walled up in Rington Grange.
I don't think I want to know.
I buried her in the shrubbery. I wept. I wept for the first time since I can't remember when. Do you think that's a good sign, Douglas? Do you think perhaps I may be redeemed?
It's time for us to leave, Dickie. I have a meeting.
There's something else I must tell you. Something very important.
I'm going to be late for my meeting.
There isn't any help, you know, Douglas.
What do you mean?
We're all of us alone. From the moment of birth to our last breath. The past is the present. There is nothing else.
I'm going to put you in a taxi, Dickie.
We have to live with ourselves until there isn't any time left. There's no escape.
And so we bowled merrily on our way, with the Iron Lady at the helm. So merrily that Roderick Brighouse became too big to be associates and became a PLC in 1988. Alison had the perfect nuclear family. One boy, one girl, one husband. And ghosts had fled her life forever. We, the PLC and me, encountered no problems with planning proposals. Seemed to matter little whether the proposals were ringed with coffee stains or scribbled on the back of an old envelope. Permission granted. On occasions, we simply didn't bother to make an application.
All right, all right! For sake of the door!
What the hell's going on?
You Richard Thornton?
I am. Do you know what time it is?
7:03 precisely, sir. I'm Detective Sergeant Alston, this is DC Matthews.
Well, what would you want with me?
I have a warrant here to search these premises.
For what? We find no drugs here.
I'm arresting you on suspicion of bribing and corrupting a public official.
What?
Namely, Douglas Wilder.
Douglas?
Principal Planning Officer, South Yorkshire County Council. Do you know Mr. Wilder?
Yes, but...
You do not have to say anything, but it may harm your defence if you do not mention when questioned, something which you'll later rely on in court. Anything you do say may be given in evidence.
On New Year's Eve, 1989, Douglas Wilder rammed the rear of the only police car within 200 square miles. That his blood alcohol was three times the legal limit might have been explained away by a good solicitor as an eccentric propensity for a certain cough syrup. What could not be so easily explained to an honest constable was why there were £37,000 cash spilling from a Roderick Brighouse folder on the front seat of a new Jaguar on long-term loan from Roderick Brighouse PLC. I was sentenced to 7 years and served 3 years, 4 months. Douglas served only 3 days of his sentence, dying of a massive heart attack on the fourth. Roderick Brighouse was given the CBE. My mother died in her own bed. The Screws were surprised I didn't ask to attend the funeral. I was regarded as a hard-hearted bastard.
Christ's sake, Chief. What rattled your locker?
Sorry. Nightmare. I'm sorry.
I never said they was putting me in with a nutter. You don't piss the bed, do you?
No. Sorry I woke you. Cigarette.
Oh, cheers. Bloody bliss. I'm sick up to here of smoking roll-ups. It's likely to happen often, Chief. You shouting the odds.
Off and on. Sorry.
Great. Must have something awesome on your conscience, right?
Like everybody else in here, I'm an innocent man.
Too right.
A long time ago, I met a ghost.
No kidding.
A child. I made a promise to return to her, and I never did. She's haunted me ever since.
Bloody hell. Where was this, Chief?
A village called Salis Purim. Oh, you wouldn't know it. Now part of Chignall Newtown, for its sake.
Been there, Chignall. Been in the nick, that is.
Bourne Park was the name of the house. Georgian pile. Been pulled down long since.
Wrong there, Chief.
Well, how would you know?
Bourne Park. Estate of Ponsey Executive Homes, Tytown Locks, Mickey Mouse Alarms, right?
I don't know.
Well, there is. I done 17 of them, personal best. If Branson's friggin' train had been on time, I wouldn't be bound up now.
But the house, Bourne Park.
Big old house there, smack in the middle of the estate.
Did you break in?
No way. Dog. I hate studs. Got another fag, Chief?
When I was released in 1992, I resolved to face the demons of my childhood. 17 Connaught Terrace, Gillingham. What I found was a for sale board and a house stripped of all identity. I sat on the stairs, and there were no disturbing voices, no frightful hand upon the latch. I was alone. There was neither consolation nor comfort beneath those slates.
Can I help you?
I'm sorry, I didn't see you there.
You were looking at my house. Can I help you?
I hope you can. But first I have to convince you I'm not an escaped lunatic. My name is Richard Thornton. Years ago I attended a town planning course here led by the late Professor Meredith Taylor. You may have heard of him?
I don't think so.
On the second floor landing of your house, I met a ghost.
A ghost? In my house?
I thought it was a little girl straying from her bed. I gave her my watch to amuse her while I chased up her parents. There was no child in the house.
Good heavens.
Ever since, I've been haunted by this child. I promised to come back to her, and I never did.
Poor child. I think we can help each other, Mr. Thornton. By the way, my name is Ford. Mary Ford.
I'm delighted to meet you, Mrs. Ford.
Not long after we came here, I was sketching the rear of the house when I realised there were one too many windows on the second floor.
I'm not sure I understand.
Well, there was one window unaccounted for, which meant...
There was a room behind the window.
Exactly. A room we knew nothing about.
Where is it?
Can't you spot the door?
No. My God. A prison cell.
An iron bed, a broken crayon, a scrap of drawing, a sad rag doll hiding under the bed. It wasn't a ghost you met, Mr. Thornton. The rag doll was wearing your watch under her skirt. If it is your watch.
A soldier with semaphore flags on the dial.
It'll take some finding, but I have it. I'm sorry to disappoint you. It was a real child you met.
But hidden away from view.
Where would anyone hide a child?
Why, indeed. Would you mind if I came back? Tomorrow, perhaps, after I've been to County Records. Would you mind if we talked again?
I see the moon sees me, under the shade of the old oak tree. Please let the light that shines on me shine on the one I love.
I've learned a great deal about the child, Mrs. Ford.
Oh, well done, Mr. Thornton. Who was she?
Elizabeth Mary Taylor, daughter of the late and unlamented Professor and Mrs. Meredith Taylor. In the language of the day, Elizabeth was classified as M.D.
M.D.?
Mentally deficient. Had a very brisk attitude towards disability in the good old days. Elizabeth was withdrawn from school, apparently to be tutored privately.
I don't understand why they hid the child.
For the future Lord Taylor of Gadsden, CBE, KCB, Lord of the Tower Blocks, to have a simpleton for a daughter. Oh, no. That would never do for a royal garden party.
But they couldn't have expected to keep her hidden forever.
Elizabeth Mary Taylor died of pneumonia on the 24th of January, 1967.
Oh, the poor child.
I was here in December.
December? Oh, if only you'd managed to disclose her presence in the house. But you're not to blame. How could you know?
Elizabeth Mary Taylor died in the January of the year before Douglas Wilder and I came to Bourne Park.
Oh, my goodness. You know what that means, Mr. Thornton?
Yes, Mrs. Ford. A long time ago, I met and talked with a ghost in your house. Finally, I have redeemed my promise. I've come back to her. The child has no headstone, Mrs. Ford, just a grave marker. Isn't that the last despicable cruelty committed upon her? If any child was ever lost, this child is surely so.
But she's found now, Mr. Thornton. Surely she's found now.
I see the moon sees me, under the shade of the old oak tree. Please let the light that shines on me shine on the one I love.
Titania has her headstone now, and the flowers are fresh, and the gravel is clean. I've buried the watch deep in the gravel, a foolish notion perhaps, but I think it belongs more to Titania than me. I too have found peace of sorts, and a use for what skills I possess. Chairman of Chignall's Disabled Children's Foundation. Suitable job for an old lag, don't you think?
Over the mountain, over the sea, back where my heart is yearning to be. Please let the light that shines on me shine on the one I love.
That was I See the Moon by Alex Ferguson, with Cliff Howells as Richard, Catherine Hunt as Alison, Russell Dixon as Professor Taylor, Mary Cunningham as Mrs. Taylor, Martin Reeve as Douglas, Anne Reed as Mrs. Mary Ford, and John Branwell as Forsyth. The director was Melanie Harris.